Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. It's a blessing to be here.
Amen.
Amen. I don't know if we can sing this song. To know you is the cry of my heart. Amen. Hallelujah. To know you is a cry of my heart. Sing to me. And hear what you say. Make it personal and then make it a prayer. To know you is the cry of my heart. Hallelujah. To know you is the cry of my heart. Spirit, reveal. Bless you for the privilege and the calling to know you. For I said no man can come to the Father except you draw. Lord, we want to say we cannot. We do not have the ability. We have a limitation to be able to respond to you the way you require us to respond. And we ask, O Lord, that you might intervene. For he said, except those days are shortened, no flesh will be saved.
Lord Jesus.
Lord, as we see the midnight, as we see the darkness coming, we ask, Lord, that we may hear your voice today.
Amen.
Let the sound of the trumpet, let the voice of the turtle dove,
hallelujah,
let the voice of the bridegroom, Lord, that it will resound, it will be declared plainly within the regions of our soul, within all the realms of our soul.
Oh my God.
Lord, that the darkness and the scales might be taken off. from our eyes, that the eyes of understanding may be enlightened.
Yeah.
And I grant us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you.
Oh, yes.
And the ministry of your word will be by revelation.
Oh,
hallelujah. We take away the letter. Let there be a revelation of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
To all, to our soul personally.
Amen.
So let this veil that is upon the heart whenever we come, may that veil be broken.
In the name of
God. I said that when you shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be broken.
Amen.
Break the veils.
Good.
Take away the veils.
Yes.
Even in our understanding, even in our attitudes, in our dispositions, let the gates of our hearts swing wide, that the King may come in. Let the entrance of your word bring light. Let there be a conversion of the soul. Lord, we receive that which you have for us. We say, speak, Lord, for thy servant hear it. Let there be seed for the sower and bread and wine for the eater. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. The microphone is there, so I'm sure. I'm told my voice is very, very, very soft. So I hope to speak louder so that you can hear what I have to say. Amen.
Amen.
I want to read from Revelation chapter 15. It says, and I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. And I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast and over his image and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. We shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name, for thou only art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. And after that I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was open. And the seven angels came out of the temple, having the seven plagues, clothed in pure and white linen, and having their breasts girded with golden girdles. And one of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials full of the wrath of God, who liveth forever and ever. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power, and no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. Amen. I want to read Hebrews Hebrews 10. Verse 38 and 39 says, now the just shall live by faith, but if any man drawback. My soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Amen. You are very quiet this morning. Amen. 1 Peter, I always mix up this scripture. Okay, 1 Peter 1, verse 9. First Peter chapter 1, verse 9, reading from verse 8, says, whom, having not seen, ye love, in whom though now you see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I'm sure the last two scriptures resonate with many of us. Because it probably captures what will seem to be the major thrust of our faith, the goal, what we are pushing forward towards. I got a shock last week. I was in Gabon and I was in a shell camp, and I was ministering, and I said something, and the sister, she works for Shell, she told me that Shell is changing their IT policy. They now want to store their information in the iCloud. iCloud. Yes, iCloud. You have iTunes. If you have iPod, what do you do if you want to buy, you want to get a song, where do you get it from?
Apple.
You buy it from where?
Apple.
Apple. Where is the store? iTunes. Where is the iTunes?
iCloud.
Where is the iCloud? Okay, somewhere in Seattle. So I told her, I said, my daughter is doing information engineering. So I was trying to get information. I said, I was just trying to make sure it was the right decision right choice of course for her. And he said, yes, it's good, because most of the major multinationals that are changing their IT policy, they don't use servers to store their information anymore. They store them in the iCloud. Where is iCloud? Where is iCloud? Okay, well, yes, but Gary, you are the IT man. Where is iCloud? Have you seen iCloud?
It's on a big server. On the internet.
Okay, it's on the internet. Where is internet? Where is the internet? So when she said that, I said yes, I understood what was going on. And it further reinforced what God was saying to me about the church, the state of the church. He said, if you run with horsemen and they wearied you, what will you do? Oh, sorry, if you walk, yes, you ride with these footmen and they will lead you, then what would you do with the horsemen?
Horses.
Or with the horses? I'm sure you will overtake the horsemen, isn't it? So maybe that's when we can decide to begin to run, isn't it? But it will be too late. And that's what's happening to us. We are realizing very late in the game that we are being left behind. You know, when you come from Africa, where I come from, and you come to Europe and you come to America, and I look around, of course, back home we say we'll try to catch up. You know, we'll do. I mean, anybody in government, I've been in government, I worked in government for a long time. We're trying to catch up with you guys. You know, we're working very hard to catch up with you guys. But those of us who are exposed, we know there's no catching up. There's nothing to catch up. So we said, look, just do the best you can. Because there's no catching up. I mean, you enter into a toilet, to somewhere, you know, a toilet in the hotel or in the airport, and then you put your hand under the shower, under the sink. What happens? Water comes out. How does the water come out? You didn't talk to the water, you just put it there and it starts coming out. Okay, detectors. Do you see the detectors? You are getting towards the door. The door opens. You're walking towards the door. The door opens. Now, you know, you are walking towards your car. You press something. The door opens. The engine starts running. And then we are still being left behind. You know, so I'm trying to say to the brethren that we are getting old fashioned. Every one of us in this room, we are getting old fashioned. Old fashioned. Outmoded. Rusty. And almost falling into disuse. You know, in medicine, I mean, for instance, I tell you, in HIV, if you work in HIV, every 6 months, the information changes. Every 6 months. If you want to be at the cutting edge, every 6 months. Because of the volume of information. You know, there are lots of researches, lots of information. So within 6 months, you revise, you know, your criteria for treatment, for evaluation, or whatever it is. And then for us in the church, where are we? Okay, we are still using the old method. We are still operating on even something that God cannot recognize.
That's right.
Because what we are doing, God cannot recognize it.
Amen.
We think God recognizes it, but the truth of the matter is that God does not recognize what we are doing. So if I may ask you, under which covenant are we operating?
Amen.
Are you walking according to the Old Testament, or are you walking according to the New? What priesthood are we following?
Yes.
Because if you look at the book of Hebrews, it gives us four. There are four categories. There are four characteristics.
Oh yes, come on.
You must have a covenant. You must have a temple. You must have a priesthood, and then you must have the offerings and the sacrifices and the services that go with that order. So which one is Sunlight Ministry following? Which one is Heaven Life Fellowship following, or Zion Church following, or any of the churches you know, what are we following? Are we following the old, or are we going with the new?
Oh yeah.
So God says, it's either you are hot or you are cold.
You are cold.
But the end time church says we want to be in the middle. And the time has run out.
Oh yeah.
You know, so we are being in a transition, and the time of that transition is over. The time of the transition is over. And we must decide. So we have come to a point of decision. Either to say, if Baal be Baal, serve him.
Yeah.
If God be God, serve him.
Yes.
Amen.
So we say that we are of those who press on to the salvation of the soul. Why do you need to save the soul? Have you asked? What is the problem with the soul? What is the soul? And if you are saving the soul, what are you saving the soul from? And then what do you save the soul unto? And then we are not really interested. So we have our little religion all carved off, and we are going to extinction because God can no longer protect us, just like God cannot protect the outer court.
That's right.
From darkness.
That's right.
There is nothing God can do to protect the outer court from darkness. When it is nightfall, darkness must cover the outer court. There is nothing God can do to protect the outer court.
Oh, yes.
The only protection is to enter. Hallelujah. Now, we think we have the word holy place church is a very wrong terminology. We use the word holy place church. We say we are holy place church. Well, if we were holy place church, it would be good.
That's right.
It would be good. Hallelujah. God told me anyone wearing trousers is outer court. If you wear pants as a lady, you are outer court. That's what God said. Hallelujah. Okay, no amen for that. I said, if you wear pants, trousers, if you're a lady wearing pants, trousers, God says you are outer court. Okay, we'll have time to explain that. Because in the tabernacle, the dressing of the priesthood, God was very particular. God was very detailed in describing the garment of the priesthood. What made Aaron a priest? What consecrated him was what? He said, thou shalt put upon Aaron his holy garment and your anointing with oil, that he may minister to me in the priest's office. Now, 2 Corinthians 3 says that the glory of the Old Testament is nothing to be compared with the glory of the New, isn't it? And then we pride ourselves. Have you wondered, if the glory is such, how about the consecration? How about the consecration that brings the glory? It's going to be higher. Hallelujah. So God is saying the church must move on. We've been at this feast of blowing of trumpets for a long time, and it is very clear that the church is moving into a new dispensation. We are moving into a new order. We are coming into a new season. God works in seasons. If you know God, you know He works in seasons. There is a season for seed time, and there is a season for harvest. The Bible says, as long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest will not fail. That is the season of God. On the first day, He did so and so. On the second day, He did so and so. On the third day, He did so and so. And then on the seventh day, the Bible says, He rested from all His ways. That is God. And God has been working in the church. The church has come through the first feast, that's Passover. What you're experiencing in this building is part of the Passover, part of the fallout of the Passover. You know, the great movement all over the world to bring out people, get people born again from from the Catholic Church or whatever it is, all over the world. You will say it's just the first stirrings, just getting people born again. And even with that, there are people who were left behind. There are those who did not understand that the just shall live by faith. So they were left behind. But you know, in church business, even when you are left behind, you keep on functioning.
Yeah.
You may have a lot of money. Hallelujah. Why are you so quiet? You try to understand me. Okay, try to listen. When you have been left behind, you may have a lot of money. You have universities, you have companies, you have stocks. You control the world, but you've been left behind. Amen.
Amen.
You are left behind, but you are still functioning.
Yeah.
God will not take you out as a judgment. Amen.
Yeah.
And then the church moved beyond Passover. I remember even at Passover, some were left behind. And then at the point of Passover, God moved some people beyond, and He brought them to the Pentecostal experience. Not everyone moved on to Pentecost. Some said, we don't believe in Pentecost, we only believe in being born again. I have several churches at that level. And then some came to the Pentecostal experience, and it was a great movement all over the world. And many churches came from that. And for how many years now? Maybe probably about maybe 80, 90, going to 100 years. There has been an attempt to move beyond the Pentecostal experience. And where we are now is that a few people, majority of the people, have turned back.
Oh yeah, great.
Of course, you've had the 1948 movement in Canada, isn't it? And then between 48 and up until the time Brother Seth came, you've had several manifestations of people moving, trying to move beyond the Pentecostal experience. It will appear that the fire is dying down. In some places, the fire is gone. And in some places, you may not even recognize what you say. It's even worse than the Pentecostal.
That's right.
So I'm describing the end time church. We say we are moving on to the saving of the soul. Well, that is what you say. But God sees the heart, and God knows where you are, what you are doing, and what I am doing. Hallelujah. God is looking for a people that will move on to the saving of the soul.
Hallelujah.
But the question is, where are we? Where are we in this journey of the saving of the soul? Deuteronomy 16, verse 16 says, three times in a year must every male appear before me.
Yes.
Three times. That means in your lifetime, God, there are three milestones. You must come to Passover. You must come to Pentecost. And then you must come to Tabernacles. Those are experiences. And in the lifetime of the church, also the church must come to those experiences. And the Bible says that anyone who will not come to any of this feast, what will happen to him? He will be cut off. In fact, it says for the Feast of Tabernacles that anyone that would not go up to worship at that time, that there shall be no rain. There shall be no rain. And that is part of what is going to happen, what we are going to see happen in the church, because there are some who will refuse, who are refusing to go on to the experience of tabernacles.
Yes.
And the Bible says, there shall be no rain. Hallelujah. Now, the judgment of God is such that when God gives a word, the judgment begins to run at the same time. If God gives you a word, when the trumpet is blown, when they open the seal, the trumpet is released and the vials are released, they are all running at the same time.
Yeah.
That's the way it works with God. But I'm trying to say that God is expecting us to move forward.
Yeah.
And this is the last chance.
Yes.
This is the last chance. It's the last chance.
Yes, amen.
You better believe it. This is the last chance. Amen. Hallelujah. Midnight is coming. It's around the corner. It's even here. Amen. So the question is, what is this salvation of the soul? What does it mean to press on to the saving of the soul? What does it mean? What is God saying? What does God require of us? That is part of the burden that I have. That hopefully we'll be looking at. To be able to understand, what salvation of the soul is, I always like to paint the picture. The Feast of Tabernacle has three components. The Feast of Tabernacle has three components, beginning with the blowing of trumpets. And that takes place on the first day of the seventh month in Israel. As a matter of rule, every first day of the month in Israel, the trumpet blows. When the trumpet blows, it is to signify a new moon. It will signify a new season. So, at the turn of the moon, the trumpet will begin to blow. And because there is no set time, they will observe the moon. And then when it is seen, it's announced. And they blow the trumpet. That's why the trumpet is blown. To determine that the new moon has come. In other words, to declare a new season that it has come upon God's people. So if you are a sensitive person, when you come to the church, you'll be listening for the trumpet.
Yes.
When I come to fellowship, I listen for the trumpet. I'm trying to find out what's the new season. What is God saying? Is there a change? Amen. Don't amen. Hallelujah. Are you hearing any new trumpets? Have you heard any new trumpets recently?
Amen.
I have been hearing a new trumpet.
Amen.
Amen. And in April, I began to hear something I hadn't heard before.
Yes.
In April, I heard something. I'm sure Brother Bot will tell you his own experience, but I heard something I had never heard before. So I went to God. I said, "What is going on?" He said, "It's a new season. It is a season of atonement." Hallelujah. After blowing our trumpet, the next one is what? The Day of Atonement. Then after that one, then you come to the real deal. You come to the real deal. Amen. Hallelujah. But you see, you can't talk of the real deal when you have not gone through the works. Amen. Say amen now. Amen. You can't come to the real deal without going through the real deal. And this is where the men will be separated from the boys. That's where we are now. Hallelujah. And it's going to come with darkness. It's going to come with midnight. A season of darkness. That is what's about to break upon us. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Darkness is coming. Yesterday, Brother Bot was telling us about the tsunami. You know? People were on the beach. What were they doing? They were having church, crusades, radio broadcasts. They were building universities, writing books, printing new Bibles, new translations. But the tsunami was coming. And brethren, there is a tsunami coming. There is a tsunami coming. And what you saw, you said it was 100 feet high. In Japan, it was how many feet? 30 feet. Because it was as high as the... Yes, it was about as high as the story building, isn't it? This is 100 feet. Tsunami coming. Hallelujah. Amen. Brother, we have to be prepared.
Yes. Amen.
We must be prepared. Now, how are you going to deal with a man who is fighting you in the spirit? The devil is fighting you in the spirit. But you are walking. You are coming to the devil walking, and he's fighting you in the spirit. The scripture says God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him on the beach. We must worship him with fashion. We are spending time arguing about trousers, about the length of the skirt length. The ahead there is mid level, then there is the high level, and then there is this other one. So you measure the length. Is it going to be 2 feet or and all that? Hallelujah. Why they were measuring the length of the priest's clothes in Russia, the Bolshevik Revolution came. They were arguing about the clothes, the length of clothes, you know, and all that. The communists were at the door. And the same thing is happening to us. We are arguing the length of skirt. And the devil has taken our children. Amen. Hallelujah. So, we're looking at this feast of tabernacles. And God said, what we thought was movement was actually blowing our trumpets. What we have had is blowing our trumpets. For many years, we've been blowing the trumpet. Come out of Babylon. Go beyond Pentecost. After some time, we'll get tired. And then we come down to the Pentecostal realm. Once upon a time, God sent, you know, as it was in Israel, He will send a deliverer that will remind us that we need to move forward. And then we'll make some efforts to move forward. And then when the deliverer is dead, what happens? We'll go back to the Pentecostal level. Amen. Everybody says, say amen. I say, everybody says, I'm going out fishing.
Yes, amen.
I go out fishing. So you go back to the Pentecostal realm.
Yes.
And where you have church. Church. God is not interested in church.
Right.
You know, I was in, again, we were in Gabon last week. And I was, you know, ministering in the Shell camp. One of the Shell staff, he's a pastor in the, there's a church, the biggest church in Nigeria, which is actually the biggest church in Africa, Redeemed Christian Church of God. He, you know, he sat through the meetings, and on the last day, he was traveling, immediately I finished speaking, he stopped. He said, I have to say something. He said, this word is true. And the reason why it's true was that in January this year, the general overseer, that's, I don't know, you know, the chap, the one man in charge of the whole thing, well, he called a meeting of all the pastors. I asked him, how many were you? He said there were close to 30,000. How many are you in this room? Okay. The general overseer called the meeting of all his pastors, not the congregation. There were 30,000 people. 30,000. That was in January. They had the minister's retreat. And he told them that God has given him a message. But he hadn't had the boldness to tell them. But he finally summoned up the courage. And he said, God said, I should tell you, he has finished with church.
Amen.
He has finished with church business. That he's doing something new, and he's going to work with individuals. Amen. And he was saying to the brethren, you must hold on to this word.
Yes.
And you must walk with this word. And he, as he finished talking, he gave me a gift. Said, I have a gift for you. He gave me a souvenir. And then he walked on. But it was instructive because this is coming from the Pentecostal church, the mainstream Pentecostal church, that God is even telling them that I've finished with church.
Oh boy.
Okay, How about the end time church itself? What will God tell us? What will God tell us, brethren? Well, we are trying to be like the Pentecostal church. Because the platforms that we have is the platform of the Pentecostal church. Amen. So we're still talking about blowing of trumpets. You are blowing trumpet, you are saying move forward. Move forward to what? What are we moving for? You say we are those who press on to the saving of the soul. What does that mean? That's jargon. Just cliches, just terminologies. What does saving of the soul mean? What is wrong with the soul that you must save the soul? Isn't it? What is wrong with the soul? What is wrong with my soul that God has to save it? Amen. Hallelujah. You know, very early in the ministry of Jesus, in John chapter 2:19, yeah, very early, he told them, he says, I have come with something new. He says, there is a new temple in town. See, there's a new temple in town. Amen.
Oh, yes.
He said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days, yes, I will raise it up.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
That's right.
So, very early in his ministry, and he continued with it. He didn't change. In Matthew 24, they took him back to the temple. I've been to the temple. I also went there 2 times. They took him back and they began to show him. I said, fine. He says, these stones that you see,
yes,
says the time is coming when not even one stone will remain. And we know historically that happened, isn't it?
Oh, yes.
If you've gone to the temple, anyone here who's gone to the temple, when you go to the temple, man. When you go, turn left. When you enter, they take you into a tent, and when you look, they will show you the actual hole on the ground that was the wall of the temple, not the wall of the fence of the temple, the temple itself, the wall. You see where the Romans digged the stones out and melted the gold. They melted, every stone was melted because they were going for the gold, because there was gold in it. So they took it down piece by piece. And if you look on the other side of that temple, you will see the mosque. Is there? And I'm telling you, nobody is going to do anything on that side. When you go there, you will need, no one will need to convince you that it is a permanent Muslim heritage site, the second most holy site. There's not going to be any Christian thing done on that site.
Amen.
Any attempt will bring an immediate world war. The man that went there, he's still in coma, Ariel Sharon. He's still in coma.
Yeah.
Avery Sharon, he went on that side. And they used witchcraft and smoothed him. And he's still in coma now. So, God is saying something to us, brethren. There is a new temple.
Yeah.
There is a new temple. And there is a new covenant.
Yeah. Amen.
There is a new priesthood.
Yes.
And there are new offerings and sacrifices that must be brought.
Yes. Yes.
So which one are we following? Something that is dead and buried and gone. Hallelujah. In the Old Testament, the temple was physical. It was a physical temple. But in the New Testament, the temple is different. The temple is physical, but now the temple is living. It's a living temple. How many of us know that there is a living temple? Okay, we know in our head. Hallelujah. If you knew your body was the temple of God, how dare you make a tattoo mark on it? Huh? How dare you open your ears without permission? The Bible said, "Know ye not that you are bought with a price, and that you belong to God, and that you are not your own." So we say something and we don't really believe it. We are speaking of lordship, dominion of Christ. But in practice, we are still in control. It's still our body. Amen. And God says the transition is too long. Because there has to be a transition from the old temple to the new temple.
Yes.
That's where we have been. We have been trying to make a transition from the old temple to the new temple.
Amen.
This building is not the temple of God.
Amen.
It's not and cannot be.
Yeah.
Say the Most High does not dwell in temple made with hands. Brethren, there is a new order. And it's the order of the New Testament. It has been in the mind of God for a long time. God said, now we must bring it into effect. So, Hebrews says that God, in saying He's bringing a new covenant, He meant that the old covenant was going away, is it not? So there is a new covenant. And that covenant, it says, must be written in the inward parts. Hallelujah.
Oh, yes.
The new covenant must be written in my heart. Because in this new order, I am now the temple of God. If I am now the new temple, then who is the priest in this new temple?
Yes, amen.
Who is the priest? Hallelujah. And if there's a new priesthood coming forth, then what are the sacrifices? What is the altar?
Hallelujah. Oh yes.
Hallelujah. So how do we fit in ministry? How do we fit in church in this new order? How do you fit in pastor? How do you fit in apostle and prophets? I don't know if you understand what's going on. There's a transition. Say, so we'll prophesy in part, and we know in part. Now, when the prophet has come, says he has raised these ministries until we all come. It's taking too long. Hallelujah. It's taking too long. So God is going to do something. Darkness is coming. The tsunami is coming. Tribulation is coming. Because He must brew a quick work. He must bring us to the point where we actually become the temple.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And then the word, the covenant will be instituted. And then the true offerings begin to come forth. So brethren, God is saying there's a new order. It is called New Testament. It's called New Testament.
Yes.
Someone said, but that's what we have been doing all the while. You have not been doing that all the while. What we have been doing is a beast, a mixture that God does not know what it is. The American and the Western people brought what they call church. Someone called it the Americanization of the gospel. The Americanization of the gospel. You organize it, you civilize the gospel. You have to have a pastor, someone to lead you. So you have to have a congregation. They have a ministry with branches. I have annual conventions. And then you have foreign missions. God doesn't recognize all that. He says, a body has thou prepared for me. Amen. Hallelujah. Say, a body has thou prepared for me.
Hallelujah.
God is interested in temples. Of course, when you have temples, it forms a city, isn't it? It becomes the city of God, Zion.
Yes.
Amen. It becomes Zion, the city of the living God.
Yes.
Amen. But God is a spirit. He's a spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit.
Yes.
Now, what is the end of your faith? The end of your faith is that God wants sons. He might bring many sons to glory.
Amen.
And these sons, He calls bride. In other words, He's going to be married. How can His spirit marry flesh?
Yeah.
Is it possible? How can His spirit marry flesh? So it says flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. I'm being deliberately very slow to get everyone going, because even the children, the young ones, have to, because many of them have conflict with us. We say one thing and do the other, so they're confused. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So the question is, what is the soul? What is the salvation of the soul? Because if God is a spirit, then what is this soul? Amen. You know, so he says, we are not of them that draw back to perdition, but to those who press on to the saving of the soul. And then he is talking about the new covenant. In fact, by the way, he says the Melchizedek priesthood is without father and without mother. What kind of a man is that? Do you know any man like that? But there was such a man. He brought bread, brought wine, set off for Abraham. Said, let's eat. Let's have a feast. Say, he was a priest of the Most High God. Hallelujah. There's only one explanation. That Melchizedek was, and Melchizedek is coming. Melchizedek has to come forth on the earth. He said, a priesthood after the order of Melchizedek. A priesthood of the Spirit. A people of the Spirit. Amen. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 2 that God took the earth. We saw that in the Creation Museum. God took the earth. We are beginning to come home now. He took the earth, and Bible said that he breathed into it, and it became a living soul. So let's do an analysis. What is soul? Let's do an analysis. Steve Jobs knew this. Steve Jobs, you know him? Steve Jobs. He knew this. So you should know it. Okay, so let's do an analysis. What is the soul? He talked about iCloud. Because he knew. He knew what was going on. So what is the soul? So he took the clay, isn't it? And then he breathed into the clay. And then something new came forth. So he became a living soul. He became a living heaven earth. Is that not? You became a living heaven earth. Soul is a mixture of two dimensions.
Yes.
Of heaven, of spirit, and then the earthly physical dimension. That's what the earth is. That's what the soul is.
Yes.
Could you say that one more time?
I said the soul has two realms.
Yes.
Which end time people don't want to hear about.
Yes.
But I'm sorry, you are going to hear about it today. The soul has two dimensions. I will give you the scriptures. The heavenly and the earthly dimensions. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And if you understand that, you can go home and print a poster and write "Goodbye, Devil." I've written that already. Goodbye, Devil. It's over. The battle is over. If you understand that, the battle is over. The devil cannot pull anything over your eye anymore. If you understand, just basic. We're not even gone very far. Just basic. That your soul has two natures. Okay, I'm using a more scriptural word now. Nature. The Christ-like nature. And the beastly nature. Okay, you are more familiar with that now. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. There are two natures within your soul, within your mind. A Christ-like nature, potential, and then the beastly nature, potential. I was reading a lecture given by one of my professors, a senior colleague. He's a mystic. I was just flipping through, and I came across a phrase, and I smiled. He said, "The man fell in love with the body." Do you understand that? He said, "A man fell in love with the body." He was being very careful. He didn't want to show his true nature. But you see, that was what happened to Adam. Adam had two choices.
Yeah.
And I want you to understand today that you also have two choices.
Amen.
There are two choices. No choice is a choice.
Yeah.
No choice is a choice. Amen. After the end of this message, you will have taken a choice. So you can leave now before the message goes very far. you can leave and go so that you don't hear it. But at the end of this message, you will make a choice. Adam had to make a choice. is by choice. Sonship is by choice. Is that true?
Amen.
Sonship is by choice. Many are called. Amen. Many are called. Few are chosen. And the remnant are faithful. The remnant are faithful. Many are called. Few are chosen. But there's a remnant that will be faithful. I want to be in that remnant. Hallelujah. Amen. So he says, we are of them that press on to the saving of the soul. Do you understand what you are talking of? You are talking about two dimensions. So when God made Adam, he put him in the garden. And he put two trees. Says, there is the tree of life, and then there is this other one, good and evil. Don't go this way, go this way. Where did Adam go to? Okay, he went to the left. He went to the wrong one. Amen. But I wanted to, I'm trying to show you something. I read the scripture in John, in Revelation 15. It talked about those who overcame.
Amen.
So at the time of Adam, there was no beastly nature. The potential for darkness, for where we are now, and where man will end up. Man hasn't ended up yet. Man is still falling. He told them in mut. The Hebrew says mut. That means in dying, you will continue to die. That's the Hebrew. If you read the Hebrew, it says mut. Mut means die. So when you read scripture, when you repeat it two times, it means a continuum. So in dying, you will continue to die. So man has been decaying. He hasn't reached the end yet. We are getting very, very close. But there's something that God is saying, brethren. Man is also rising.
Hallelujah.
There's also a rising. Hallelujah. So as man is falling, there's another door. Man is also rising. Hallelujah. So there are two directions. One is going down, the other is rising. So we are not of them who draw back, but of those who press on to the saving of the soul. Amen. But are we passionate about this? Is there a hunger in our hearts? I was listening to the singing in the night and this morning, and I said, God, something has to happen.
Yes.
You know, we are reading Bashir.
Yeah.
Something, you don't feel the hunger. I'm talking about I know the hunger is not there. And I'm hearing other people singing. I'm trying to listen to the heart. You know you should listen to the heart. You should listen to your heart and listen to the heart of your brethren. You know that we're not really crying now. We're not really passionate. Amen. So, there are those two dimensions, those two natures, and the soul must go either way, either in light or darkness. Man will end up in either of those directions. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, so, we're going back again to what we're looking at, Genesis 2. That God breathed into Adam and said, you will become soul. Now, soul is the most unique. You and I were the most unique creation of God.
Yes.
The only creation known in the whole domain of God that possesses this rare quality of heaven.
Yes.
And earth within the same dimension. That's none. Even angels don't have that. Angels do not have what you have. And God says, what shall it profit a man to gain all the world and then to lose his soul? That is, the value of one soul cannot be put on any equation with the things you see around. In fact, the Bible says that this building is a phantom. This building is an illusion. Is that true? Okay, you don't believe. It's real, you can touch it. Isn't it? But I bet you, you only need to put one small earthquake outside, and this building is gone. Just to put a match, and this building is gone. It's a phantom. Bible says that the things that are seen are temporal. The things that are not seen, those are the real things. Hallelujah. So within you, your soul is more real than even your body. But because we are a people, for a reason, we have fallen in love with the body, with the physical. And we think you are physical. There's a scripture that God showed me that it really blew my mind. He said, somebody drank wine and was merry. And then somebody heard news and was merry. Have you thought of that? You hear the word of God and your heart is merry. You go out and eat steak and your heart is merry. What do you think is happening to you? So you can decide not to eat steak and you'll be merry. That is, you can decide to receive energy not from the physical, but your life and your energy will come from God.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Many of us, our energy comes from the television, or comes from the cell phone, or comes from hearing news, or comes from a physical relationship, or from power, or from your job, or from the money you have in your bank account. That's where you get energy. You get life. You get life by being called a lawyer. You just write a letter, write a few, you make some marks on the paper, and they pay you a lot of money, and you are happy. That's what it is. Amen. So that man shall not live by bread again, but from the life of God. Hallelujah. Amen. So the soul has two dimensions.
Yeah.
And has two realms that it could express itself in God. And the Bible says that Adam died. He died because he chose. He actually rejected God. The way God made Adam was so that he could draw life from the spirit and could draw life from the physical. That is the soul. You could go either way. To draw life from the natural and to draw life from the spirit. Of course, process will teach us that the divine order is that the spirit must rule over the soul, isn't it?
Yes.
And then the soul rules over the body, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay. That's the divine order. That's the way it goes. But when Adam came on the scene, that divine order changed. And that is what the devil wants to produce in you and produce in me. A beast. A beast doesn't depend on the spirit. It doesn't draw life from the spirit. It draws life from within the soul realm and from the body. Amen. If you see a cow or a cat or any of those things, they have a soul. They have a body, but no spirit. Now, when Adam died, his spirit was shut down. I'm trying to explain it in contemporary times, and then later we'll go to the scriptures. When Adam died, his spirit was shut down. It was cut off from God. And if you look at it very, very carefully, the soul also has spirit.
Yes.
Okay, someone says soul is spirit. It's spirit, but there is a component of the soul that is derived from the spirit. Amen. There's a component of the soul of man that is spiritual. And there's another component of the soul of man that is earthly. So when Adam died, there was a tilt.
Yes.
He became carnal. The physical realm began to rule, dominate, and control everything about him. So it appeared to Adam as though he didn't know anything about the spirit. So many of us, when we are born into the world, we are born with the understanding that we don't know God. Rabbi yesterday was saying, we don't know God. And it's true. I give you the scripture. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 4 says that the God of this world has done what? Has blinded the minds of them that do not believe. There are scripture says that as long as Moses is read, that there is a veil over the mind of the people. Hallelujah. Many people are sleeping. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. The Bible says there's a darkness over the soul. Genesis chapter 1 says, in the beginning, there was darkness. There was darkness over the deep. Amen. There was darkness over the soul. That is the dimension of the soul. There was a darkness over the soul. And the Spirit of God was to be. Even though there was darkness, the Spirit of God was there to bring life if we will open up to the Spirit of God. The scripture in Proverbs 20 says, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, giving life, giving light to the regions of the soul, to the belly. That word belly speaks, is the same word that you use for the soul. In fact, if you look closely, he even says, it says chambers of the soul.
Yes.
The soul of man has different chambers.
Yes, amen.
And that's what Ezekiel saw. That's the temple Ezekiel saw.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
The soul of man has dimensions and has regions. When man is born, those regions, those natures are in darkness. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. And God says Babylon has become, do you understand? Those chambers of the soul are not empty spaces. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Those chambers of the soul are not empty spaces. Since Babylon has become a cage, a habitation of every unclean and hurtful bed. Hallelujah. But there's an opposite, and that's Zion.
Yes, amen.
Zion is the city of the living God. So the soul has two dimensions, has two destinations. Either it becomes Zion, which is a good one, isn't it? We all want to be part of Zion. Is it not so? Okay. Now if you are going to be Zion, How would you become Zion when you started off from the other end of the road? We start off from the other end of the road. We start off from darkness. Do you understand why Brother Bot is shouting? He said, "Thou will not leave my soul in the realms of lifelessness." When you say hell, it is a historical religious word that distorts the true meaning. What is hell? Hell is a region of lifelessness, a region of rebellious people, a place where there is no life of God, a place where there is no light of God. That is hell. Hallelujah. In hell, the life of God is not there. In Zion, you have the life of God. The opposite of that is what? Babylon, where there is no life of God.
Jesus.
Don't you understand? When Adam sinned, he was cut off from God. He was driven from the garden. His soul fell into darkness. The spirit of man is the candle, is the light.
Yes.
Don't you understand? It's the light body. That is what brings light into the soul. But man sinned. The light was switched off. Okay, give me the scripture. He said, "He is the true light." John 1:5, isn't it?
1:9,
okay. Say, "He is the true light that lightens." Do you lighten what has light? He says, "He's the true light that lightens every man or every soul that comes into the world." And David said, "Behold, I was shaping in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." When a man is born, he's born in sin. He's born in darkness. The soul is born in darkness. The soul is born in as a resident of Babylon, of a region of rebellion against God. Hallelujah. But that soul has to come to Zion. And the only way to do that is to drive out one, the spirit; two, the nature of the soul must be changed. So that's why God says, "I will make a new covenant." Don't you understand? And that's why God is talking about a new temple. You are the temple. So for God, God is not interested in ministry. He's not interested in church. God is interested in you. Because I have chosen Zion as my dwelling place. But in Zion, spirits are dwelling. Impostors are dwelling in Zion. Don't you understand? God made a house and spirits are there. He's not happy. Hallelujah. So he said, "I will bring many sons unto glory. I will have a people who will prevail and drive out the spirits from their souls."
Hallelujah.
Brother Bot told us in check, you must till your own ground.
Yes.
You know what he said? Say, till your own ground. Nobody is going to till your ground for you. You must drive out the spirits from within your soul.
Amen.
The Bible said that no man can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Ghost. We need the power of the Spirit to drive the spirits out. And that's why it says you must be baptized. That's why you need the anointing and the unction of the Spirit of God. And that's why it says that the entrance of thy word bringeth light. But that is the purpose of the holy place. The purpose of the holy place is to bring life and light back to the soul. Before the soul can be presented to Christ as a bride. Okay, don't worry, I'll take that again. Hallelujah. Brethren, we are walking in religion. I'm sorry. Religion. We are following something that is outmoded. The tabernacle must be applied in the soul. Knowledge of the tabernacle in the head is of no use if it doesn't help you drive out the spirit of anger and bitterness and lust and uncleanness from this soul.
Yes. Amen.
Hallelujah. Yeah. If we know it in the head, and then the spirits are still dwelling here, it's of no use. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Say amen now.
Yeah.
Am I annoying you so much? Am I saying the wrong things? Hallelujah. I mean, God is trying to provoke us. Shake us from our comfort zones.
Yes.
You know, Jeremiah came, they said, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are this. He said, this temple. He said, I'm going to send a man that will break it down. His name is Nebuchadnezzar. I say, what? This temple. This is the temple of the Lord. He said, the man is coming. He's on his way. And not many days hence, Nebuchadnezzar came, burnt the temple with fire. Hallelujah. The end time church must wake up. Hallelujah. To realize that there is a new temple. There is a new priest, and there is a new altar, and there is a new offering. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. There is a new priest in town.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And that priest is you. Your mind.
Yeah.
Your desires.
Yeah.
Your will.
Yeah.
Your emotions are the priests. Those are the offerings. Hallelujah. The days of coming to church and you leave your mind at home is over. Your mind can watch television at home, but your empty carcass is here. Your body is here. Decorated with some clothes you call fashion. God is not interested in that. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Brethren, we're talking about a new order. A new order in the church. New structures in the church. The structures in the church are changing. Amen. Somebody says, my ambition is to be an elder. What a poor ambition. My ambition is to be an apostle. that is an extinct profession. Apostles are extinct professions. Prophets extinct. Because God is raising a prophetic body. He's raising an apostolic body. He's raising I don't know anything else you want. Hallelujah. God is raising a body. Say, a body has thou prepared for me.
Hallelujah.
Amen. And you must find your place in the body. Amen. Hallelujah. Brother, God is doing something new. And that new thing is you. The new thing God is doing is you. Amen. When you wake up in the morning, say, I'm the new thing God is doing. You go to the mirror, look at yourself and say, I'm the new thing God is doing. I'm the new temple. Hallelujah. I'm the new priest.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. It's a time to be excited. Hallelujah. Someone says, I want to go to heaven. How can someone in heaven go to heaven? So my ambition is to go to heaven. You are in heaven and you want to go to heaven. What a poor ambition. Hallelujah. We are about to say we are seated with Christ in heavenly places.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. You're already in heaven. And the sinner is also in heaven. But a different type of heaven. Amen. Hallelujah. Man is a dwelling place of spirits. That's our God. In fact, he uses the word, says, I dwell between the cherubims.
Yes.
We can't even talk about that today. God dwells between the cherubims. Do you understand? Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
God dwells, says, the Lord that dwells between the cherubims.
Yes.
What are those cherubims? Amen. Hallelujah. And then, if you go to Revelation, the dragon sits upon the beast. Okay, in another way, the beast is carrying the woman. Hallelujah. Which is also the same thing as God said, God dwells between the cherubims. So it's either the soul becomes beastly or becomes Christ-like. The soul of man must have one, it must occupy a throne. Your inheritance is to be a joint heir with Christ. If you reject that inheritance, then the devil will give you a seat and a great authority. That's what Revelation 13 says, that the dragon gave the beast a seat and a great authority. Okay, you don't know the scripture. Revelation 13 says there was a beast that came from the sea, and that the dragon gave it a seat and a throne and a great authority. There's a throne for the soul of man. Adam sinned. Adam was in the rebellion. Says you shall be as gods. It was an offer. Amen. To sell his inheritance in God. His inheritance was to be a joint heir with Christ. Adam sold it to the devil. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brother, I'm trying to show the high calling of God. We have a high calling. We have a high calling in God.
Yes.
Your calling is not to be part of a ministry, or to be a pastor, or to be a shepherd or apostle, or to be a housewife, or to be a doctor. That's by accident. You became a doctor by accident. Because Adam sinned. If Adam didn't sin, you wouldn't be a doctor. You wouldn't be a lawyer. You wouldn't be anything, a postman. Whatever you think you are was because of sin.
Yeah.
In the design of God, it was not so. God designed you to be his dwelling place.
Amen.
What are you doing about it?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
What are you doing about being God's dwelling place? Hallelujah. It's a great call that we have in God. Hallelujah. There's a problem of religion. You come to church, you just sing, and you go home. I say you have gone to church. How can church go to church? How can church go to church? Hallelujah. He says, my son, give me your heart.
Yeah.
He said, thou will love the Lord with all your heart, with all your desire, with all your mind, with all, everything is all. Hallelujah. It's all or nothing.
Hallelujah.
It's either all or nothing. Hallelujah. Amen. We as the end time people, we have turned back from the journey. The reason why we are coming out of Pentecostal church is to come into tabernacles. Tabernacles speaks of dwelling. God wants to make you His dwelling place.
Amen.
A spirit wants to make you His dwelling place.
Hallelujah.
That means it's deep calling unto deep. Spirit calling unto spirit.
Hallelujah.
So they that worship God must worship Him in spirit and in truth. There's a lot of carnality in the church, particularly the end time church. Hallelujah. And what we're trying to do in this session is to say the bride must be a spiritual bride. To marry a spiritual bridegroom. Which man will want to marry a wife is not compatible with? Any man? Anyone here? You marry a husband you are not compatible with. You don't have the same nature as him. It wouldn't work, would it? Then how do we think that we are going to be joined unto Christ? What does scripture say? He that is joined unto the Lord is what?
One word.
No, complete the sentence. It's one word. First Corinthians 3 says, he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. That is what the lampstand stands for. If you get joined unto God, you get burnt. You are joined unto fire. The Lord is a consuming fire. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. We need to come up, brethren.
Hallelujah.
He that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Hallelujah. The Bible says that by one spirit are we all baptized into one body. By one spirit. Hallelujah. So I'm going to stop at this point. I have a feeling that something is happening, but we are not going to stop. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah. We need to press on, brethren. Hallelujah. When we come back, we're going to look at the scriptures. And I've not even got into the message. I'm still doing introduction. I've not even got into the message. Because that says, on the day of atonement, you must stop. You must do certain things. You say everybody stop Sabbath work. You must not do any work. There are things that God wants us to be doing now. Hallelujah. And what we've been trying to do is just to try to lay the foundation of this spiritual work God wants to do. To draw your attention to the fact that there is a new order in the church now. Someone says, you know, the call was come out of Babylon. And then in that case, we are talking about the physical churches. That was a good thing. Now there's another call. Come out of Babylon. It's a new call. If you didn't come out of the first one, that means you have an arrears. That you have to do the first one first, then before you can do the second one. So there's more work to do. God is saying, come out of Babylon. That is, your soul will no longer be a habitation. God asked me the question, who is a bride? And I want to ask you, close with this thought, I want to ask you, who is a bride? Who is a bride?
Bride is herself.
There's just one thing that characterizes a bride. He has not known a man. Isn't it? The bride must not know another man before she marries. Isn't it?
That's true.
Okay. So let's apply it in the natural. So what would be a natural bride be? Okay. Let's go up a little bit. In the spirit, what would a bride be? Okay, who is the bridegroom in the natural? Okay, who is the bridegroom in the spirit?
Christ.
The bridegroom is a spirit. So, what would the bride be? Okay, so what then would be the qualification of the bride? The bride must be free from every other spirit. The bride must not be a habitation of any other spirit but the Spirit of Christ. If she is defiled by any other spirit, then she becomes a false bride. Think of that. You know, we think we are in a very comfort zone, but the qualifications are frightening. The qualifications are frightening. And we need to wake up, brethren, and come to the plate. We need to realize that it's a high calling of God. The bride must make herself ready.
Yes.
And she has to wear a clean white garment. That's a piece of righteousness, isn't it? That's, she's free. She has to be certified to be free. Who will certify her? God. He said, you have qualified. Hallelujah. So there's a call to us, brethren, to come out of Babylon. Say, come out from among her. And be ye separate. And I will receive you. If we are not separate, then he cannot receive us. It's a very high bill. And I'm praying for myself that I might be able to meet up. No wonder Paul said that, forgetting those things that are behind, I'm pressing on that I might attain unto the earth resurrection of the dead. Amen. He was pressing on. You can imagine Paul, with all he had gone to everywhere, third heaven, everywhere, he said that I might, that all things that were gained to me, I counted them dung, that I might attain, that I might be found in Christ, not having my own righteousness. Hallelujah. Brethren, there is a call. There is a high calling to be a bride. That is what we came out for, brethren. We came out to be bride. We didn't come out to be anything else. The cry in our hearts in those days was, Lord, I want your fullness. We say, Lord, we are testing and panting for thy fullness, Lord. Fullness, you're talking about tabernacles, the fullness. So let us pray that the Lord will help us, brethren, to rediscover our original fire. God needs to bring a fresh fire.
Yes, amen.
You need to bring a fresh passion. He needs to restore our backslidingness. We need to heal the heart. The coldness in the heart. The rebellion is in the heart. The only way you know a temple is that it must have fire. That's the way God appoints and identifies his temple. It must have fire. When you build the temple, fire comes. And if you don't have any fire, then that's trouble, crisis. But God is restoring Elijah, that ministry, that temple. And I believe this weekend that the fire can come.
Amen.
It will come again on the temple. Hallelujah. On the day of Pentecost, the fire physically came. And I believe that in this meeting, the fire can come, brethren. Hallelujah. Let's believe him for the fire, brethren. That he will bring, he said, I will bring the Holy Ghost and fire.
Amen.
Amen. The destination of the fire is man, not the physical temple. When he came on the temple, it was just because the real thing hasn't yet come. When the real thing came, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, the fire came. So this is my new temple. Hallelujah. And in this day and age, God is raising up a new temple also. And the Bible said that darkness and gross darkness will cover the people. But upon thee, the light of the Lord, the glory of the Lord, shall be risen upon thee.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. So let's pray. Let us bow our heads to pray.
Hallelujah.
Lord, we just bless you for that which you are saying. Give us hearing ears. Circumcise our hearts. Grant us the ability to receive that which you are giving to us with engrafted hearts, with a willingness to be doers of this word. Let the entrance of your word bring light. Let it convert our souls. Let it stir up something afresh. Let it do a new work. We just bless you, Lord. Hallelujah. Well, as that you grant us understanding, let your word be received with understanding and faith. That we will not be among those who draw back unto perdition. We'll be among the wise virgins that are rising at this hour to trim their lamps. Now, when you come at the midnight hour looking for your bride,
Jesus,
Lord, we'll be ready. Quicken us to be ready, Lord. Let us put our house in order. Let our lamps be bright, burning. That our vessels will be filled with oil. Even at this time, O Lord. As I open the eyes of understanding, grant us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. We come against the spirits, all the opposition of the enemy. We bind them in the name of Jesus. We ask, Lord, that you bless your word into our hands. Blessed be your name, Lord. In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.